Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Only the presence of the Lord can get Melanie Bertolio to jump up and down in front of people. It's good. I love the Lord, and I love just when He shows up in a powerful, powerful way. He's with us always, but He, you know, just we need those moments, you know, to just experience Him, and so I praise Him for that. Well, I have a word for us today, and I think that I've said this many times when I speak that it's really kind of a cool thing to be the worship leader and get to decide the songs on the day that you're speaking, because then you can just kind of cater everything to that. I actually did not even do that today, and yet that's just how good God is, because I've got so many things that I could reference back just to things that we've been singing about and affirming this morning before we even get into the Word. First of all, I want to say this. It's Memorial Day weekend. I guess tomorrow is officially Memorial Day, but it's the Memorial Day weekend, and we don't ever want to go ever want to have a time where our country is celebrating the people who have given their lives for our freedom without also joining in that. And I just I take this moment just, and I hope we all will, just to realize somebody paid a very steep price, the ultimate price, for us to be sitting here right now doing what we're doing. And I am grateful for that. Memorial Day is a day that it was originated so that we would remember or memorialize those who have died in active duty in the military. And it's a day to reflect on what they gave their lives for. And I think that it's important that we do that. I saw a picture on social media, and I'm sure you've seen it because it was kind of floating around, but it was a picture of Arlington National Cemetery. I mean, they always put that on the news this time of year, and you see lots of pictures and things. And the grave markers, I just pulled one up and was looking at it. And, you know, the grave marker states the name of the fallen soldier, and it gives their date of birth and the date that they died. And then it may have just a few words, very few words, something the family has chosen to as something to remember them by. I mean, I don't think I saw any of them that were more than 5 or 6 words. And I was thinking about, you know, how, I mean, now we don't just memorialize fallen soldiers, although that's what the holiday started as. Now we also just memorialize people that we've lost. And so you go to the cemeteries and you see gravestones, and they usually have the year that someone has their name, the year they were born, and then it has the dash, and then it has the year that they passed away, or the date that they passed away. And you know, that dash is kind of a big deal, isn't it? I think as I was thinking about that, I was thinking this, and Rick, you can take a note of this. I think no, it'll have to be the kids, because I plan to be the last one to go, but I'm just teasing. This is what I want. He does have something to say about what I just said, but he doesn't have a microphone, so that's what's great. I want the date to be really small. And I want the dash to just go across. And then I want the other date, okay? That's how I want it, kids. Because that dash is what matters, isn't it? That's what counts. And so the dash is a big deal. Life, our life is something that we should live in light of the sacrifice that's been made for us to have it. And so when we think about our lives and how we're living them, this ought to be a time when we are considering, am I living a life that's worthy of the sacrifice that somebody else made? For years, when we were, even before we were in this building, when we were in the other building, and we would, we'd be, you know, back then, there was never a time that there wasn't something being built
and there was always rough wood somewhere, and we were hanging sheets or whatever we were doing at the time to accommodate us until we could get to the next level. Because, you know, we would always say, we're not doing this for us right now. We're doing this for those people who will be coming years down the road. And so those people who paid that ultimate price did that for people they never knew. So we ought to be considering right now whether or not we're living a life worthy of their sacrifice. And so I would encourage you to think about that today. If you weren't here on Wednesday night, Adam preached a sermon, and well, it was really what it was is I'm thinking of it in terms of like a walk-off home run. It was really super good, and then he didn't show up today. He just went, boom, see you later. No, he's on vacation. But the funny thing about that, a yearly 10 years, they go to Roaring River every year with his great big family. So I'm not slamming him for not being here. It was just kind of funny because I was just thinking about that. I was like, that's kind of the way he just treated that. Just kaboom, and just, I'm out of here. But he said something in his sermon, and here's what's funny. I can't tell you what it was. I can only tell you what it did in me, okay? I can't tell you what it was, but I can tell you what it did in me. He said something that pertained to time or length of years or how much time we have left or some, I don't really even know. And he may not have said anything at all. It just may have been something that the Lord just blew up inside of me. But when he said it, it halted me in my mind, and it caused me to start thinking about something. He didn't reference a scripture when he said this particular thing at all. He didn't. But he did mention the word epiphany. He said, anyone ever have an epiphany? Well, I had an epiphany, and I mean, that's what I had when he said this statement. I don't even know what it was, but that aha moment just came all over me, and it had to do with the remaining years, and all of us have a certain number of remaining years, and none of us know how many that is. None of us. But I'm 51 years old, and at 51, I'm going, that number's getting smaller and smaller, and it feels like it's happening faster and faster and faster. And so it really got me thinking about it. Well, a year or two ago, I did a two-part sermon called Time, A Great Exchange. And the question that I was asking as we were talking about time was, you know, with anything and everything that we do, we are spending time. Now, we use that phrase, oh, I spent time with so-and-so, I spent time. But we don't think of it in terms of currency. Time is my currency, and time is what I'm spending. And I have to ask myself on a pretty regular basis, is what I am spending this time on as valuable to me as the time itself? Okay, so we talked a lot about that, but that was kind of a micro version of what I want to talk about today, because that was talking about when I get up today, what am I going to do with today? Okay, if I'm going to spend, you know, if I sit down in front of the television and I say I'm going to watch one show, and I get done and I think, ooh, I'd like to watch the next one, am I spending my time the way that I ought to? And so we talked a lot about time in that frame, but I want to talk about time as in the course of a life, all right? A macro version of that same sermon. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. And we hear this verse a lot. You'll hear it at funerals. For everything, there's a season, a time for every activity under heaven. I was using this verse when I was doing a morning assembly last week or the week before talking to our kindergarten through sixth graders. And I was talking about the part that says that There's a time to cry and a time to laugh. Okay, so as I'm talking, I want you to realize that this is kind of a serious topic, but I want you to know there's a time for everything. I sang him a song. I'm going to sing it for you because I think you might enjoy this. And some of you might remember this, but you know, there is a time to cry. There's a time to laugh. See, poke your hand up if you know this song. Oh, my name is Ticklish Reuben. I'm from down in old Vermont. I've been tickled by almost everything. I've been tickled by a feather. I've been tickled by a wasp. I've been tickled by a yellow bumblebee. Y'all don't know that one? The laughing's part of it. It kind of freaks people out if they've never heard the song, but the laughing's part of it. It's a good old song. If you ever had, I think it was George Yontz that did it, but then he did it with a Gaither kids thing. It was really funny, but my dad used to sing that every time we would get in the car, and we would, I don't think it's called Ticklish Reuben, but we would get in the car and we'd be like, Dad, sing Ticklish Reuben, sing Ticklish Reuben. But there's a time to laugh, and we should. There's a time for everything in life. And so the one thing I want to make sure that you don't hear as I'm talking today is that okay, all you should ever do is get up in the morning, start reading your Bible and praying and do it all day until you go to bed. No, the Bible makes allowance for the fact that we live and we breathe and we need to eat and we should have fun. And there are times when we're sad. And so I don't want you to hear the overarching idea here being that, oh no, we're not. That's not what I'm trying to say. But there's a time for everything. Ephesians 5 tells us that we are not to live as fools, but as wise, making the most of the time we have. In verse 18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is reckless living. Well, the implication there is that reckless living is a bad thing, and it ought to be avoided. So there are ways that we should live, and there are ways that we should spend our time. And when I am thinking about just today, I am asking myself about every little tiny activity. But when I'm thinking about my life, I'm asking myself, am I pointed in the right direction? Am I heading toward the call of God on my life? Am I answering that call, or am I doing something else? And I want us to think about that today. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, starting in verse 1, it says, so then since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. Verse 2 says this. It says, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. If you jump down to verse 7, it tells us to be earnest and disciplined in prayer. It tells us in verse 8 to show deep love for each other. It tells us in verse 9 to cheerfully share our homes. In verse 10, it says that we've all been given a variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to help each other. So the Bible has a lot to say about how we should spend our lives. Not just how should I spend my day, but how should I spend my life? And I don't know about y'all, but I've been hearing a whole lot, been reading a whole lot about it on the internet, on social media. A lot of people have become Bible scholars and know the book of Revelation like the back of their hand all of a sudden, because they're all getting on Facebook and they're telling us how the world is coming to an end. Well, it's been doing that for a very long time, if I'm not mistaken. Peter said it 2,000 years ago. The world's coming to an end. But the point of him saying that even then is that it is, and we should always live with the end in mind. All right? That doesn't mean that we only fix our eyes on heaven and that's all we think or about and we and it's all we talk about, but we should always live with the end in mind. And so the question is, are we using our life, the life that's been given to us, or are we wasting it? The people in Arlington National Cemetery, they use their life. They have something to, there's something to show for the life that they lived. And they left a legacy behind. That one sentence that Adam spoke, I don't know what it was, but it caused me, it just sparked something in me. Something that wants to just overthrow my old way of thinking. Because I really just sat there and I just went, said to myself, is my busyness, B-U-S-Y, not B-U-S-I, not my business, but my busyness, is that pleasing to God? Is that what He intended for my life? Are His priorities my priorities? Or am I trying constantly to get Him on board with mine? So I just started asking some of these questions to myself. I've been in the Word a lot. I mean, a lot in the last several months. I've been seeking God, praying, spending time with Him. And sometimes when you do that, you think, how do I still have questions? You know? Well, here's how I still have questions. It's because I've been in the Word a lot. I've been seeking Him. I've been praying. That's why. And you know what? Those questions are really a gift to me. Because they keep my focus on what is important in life. And it doesn't mean I don't ever start to veer, but that's what those questions do. They bring me back to center when I start to get off course. And so I've been in the Word. I've been spending time with God. And that's the very reason that those questions come up. And it's the very reason they are a gift to me. And they are a gift to me because they help me to make the most of the time that I have. That comes out of Ephesians. It tells us in chapter 5, verse 15, it says, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence. That's what I want to do. And you know what? God's given me enough discernment to know that I can take that very spiritual statement right there and know that right in the middle of doing all of that, I can have a whole lot of fun. It doesn't mean I have to live some dreary, life where I'm just, you know, all I think about is the Lord. All I think about is the Lord, but the Lord's fun. Another thing that Adam said, and this is just a bonus if you weren't here. Another thing that Adam said is the Lord is the only person in your life that doesn't get boring, including you. So, you know, I can do that very spiritual thing there. I can walk carefully, living my life with honor. I can have purpose and courage, and I can shun those who tolerate and enable evil. And I can live as the wise and not the unwise while I'm on earth and make the most. I can do all of that and still have a great life. Okay? God's not telling us that we got to be serious and everything's got to be just so-so. No. But He still tells us how we ought to live. You know, we're all in different seasons of life. Well, I don't know how many seasons of life there are, but some of us are in the same season. I'm in the same season with some of you all, and some of you all are in seasons with other people in here. I spent probably a decade or more planning and prepping for the season of life that I'm in right now. For 10 years. Probably. I mean, because I think that for me, I started thinking about having a family in my teens even. So maybe even more than 10 years. And now, that season of my life, now I'm not getting rid of my family, but the role that I'm playing within that family is getting ready to drastically change. I'm going to be, you know, to enter a new season, I've got to leave the old one. And that's kind of weird. Because I prayed in that season. I prayed in this season. I wanted this season. So now to get to the point where I'm going to have to wave goodbye to that and turn and find a new season, it's very strange. I'm working at embracing that. Working being the key word. In Psalm 90, the Bible says that we can reasonably expect to live to be 70 or 80 years old. Now, there are other places. You all know that I claim 120 years, and I still do. But it says that we can reasonably expect to live to be 70 or 80 years old. There may be some of you in this room that are older than that, and that's great. That's not a hard and fast number. We can, if we take care of ourselves and we do the right things, and God, that date is later, that's great. But it says 70 or 80 right there. Well, when I think about the being 51, suddenly that number is not so far off and not so large. But I've been thinking, I've just been thinking about this time thing, just thinking on this time thing. You know, there's a song that I like, and it was actually playing when I walked in the building earlier. There's a song that I like right now, and I think it's called Testimony or something. But there's a line in it that says, if I'm not dead, you're not done. Well, guess what? If you're in here, I think you're not dead. Which, and I'm that's not Bible, that's a song. But that agrees with the Bible. God doesn't stop working and moving in us just because we get older or because we have kind of messed up a previous part of our life and maybe haven't done the things that we should have. God has a plan for us. And so it's important that we know how to spend this life. I was reading, there's a Billy Graham book called The Journey, How to Live by Faith in an Uncertain World. And he gives 4 points for how to spend our life. Not how to spend a day, but how to spend a life. And the first thing that he says that we should do is we should see each day as a gift from God. Okay, every day is a gift. Hear that. Every single day is a gift. See, when I get to the end of my life, and I'm laying there and I'm perhaps saying goodbye to my husband and children, I'm not going to be asking if I could have one more Twinkie. I should have picked a different thing because I don't even like Twinkies. But like, okay, I'm not going to be asking if I can have, you know, one more slice of pizza because that seems to be my thing right now. Okay, so I'm not going to be asking, oh man, could you all just step out of the room because I'd just like to spend a little bit more time with this one last slice of pizza. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say, oh, I wish I could have watched the last 4 episodes of that series. Man, if I could have done that. I'm not going to be wanting these material things that we spend a lot of our time on. And I won't even do that now if I see every single day as a gift from God. And so, number one, if you want to steward over your life, you're going to see every single day as a gift from God. The second thing that he says is to commit your time to God. Not some time to God. That's what we've done this morning. We've committed some time to him. Commit your time. All of your time. Now again, that doesn't mean that you're praying and on your face all day long, but you commit your life to him. My time is in his hands. And his priorities trump mine. And so as I am deciding how to spend this life, I am not looking at it from a worldly, earthly, Melanie perspective. I'm asking God, what do you want me to do with this life? And right now, I'm saying to myself, what do you want me to do with the next 20 to 40 years, God? Help me. I want to know because I don't want to spend another day not doing what you want me to do. So I have to commit my time to God. Number three, you have to set aside time for God and for others. And most of us give God our spare time. And who has a whole lot of that? So if we're giving God our spare time, then we're not really giving him much at all. And the fact of the matter is, he isn't important. Everything else that we did first was. So we've got to give God our time, and we've got to set aside specific time for him. And then the other thing is, we've got to set aside time for people. And can I just say this, and this is hard, but that contraption in our hand all the time, I am telling you, it's hard. And here's why it's hard, because everything we do is on it. We work on it. We get the news on it. We recreate on it. Everything is on it. But there are people, like real humans, around us. And we ought to think about prioritizing them above that thing in our hand. And then the last thing is that we need to take time for our own needs. And you say, well, that's kind of selfish. No. See, number four is necessary if we're ever going to accomplish numbers one and two and three. See, I've got to get sleep. I've got to eat right. I have got to find time with the Lord and get myself fed before I can go out and feed somebody else. So in order for me to do one, two, and three, I've got to take time to meet my own needs, both physical needs and spiritual needs. So four things that we can think about as we are deciding how to spend a life. But I'm telling you all of that to get to just something I want to share with you. It's just a testimony of mine from this last week, because I had a little bit of a hard week, and I don't know if maybe some of y'all did too. And I don't know that everybody knows. A few people know I had a hard week because I actually did have a little bit. I wouldn't call it a meltdown, but I'm not a crier I don't cry a lot, but I did in front of people that I don't know that I'd ever cried in front of before, but they were good to me, so. And I want to tell you why. It was actually kind of a good cry, so that's why I want to share it with you. See, the story of my life, I'm talking about right now, the story of my life, the story of your life. We all have a story. And that story, for some of us, it lasts. It's some people, it's a short book. Some people, it's a really big, long book. But it doesn't matter how thick the book is. What matters is what's on the pages inside. And so my story this week has been that I just have had kind of a hard time. I've had some stuff weighing on me. Just things that we all have to deal with sometimes. Just having my heart burdened for some people that I love and care about. And so I had that going on. I was just really under kind of just a burden in my heart over some things. Now, then you also couple that with the fact that the last couple of weeks of school, I'd given my English students an assignment, and the assignment was for them to write three things, three essays. The first one was, who do I want to be? Not what do I want to be, but who do I want to be? The second one was, who do people say that I am? And they had to kind of try and step back and figure out look at themselves from someone else's perspective. And then the third one was, how do I partner with God to become the person that I want to be? And the idea was just to get them to look at themselves and think, you know, somewhat critically about themselves and their behavior in order to be able to make changes. So I've been reading these kids' stories all week. And then I've been having this burden in my heart over something. And then I come to church on Wednesday night and Adam starts talking about how short life is. Or that's what I heard. I'm not telling you that's what he said. I'm saying that's what I heard. And I was just like, oh man, Lord. And I mean, when he said it, I just knew. And I just really, we practiced worship that night and all went well. But then I got up Thursday morning to do my Bible time. And I just couldn't get this heaviness off of me. And I had just sat down and I literally just flipped my Bible open and it just fell open. And you got to hear me on something. I'm not that person that goes, oh, I just open the Bible and right there, you know, just a light shining. The Bible's got answers on every page. So I get that. But I just started reading the page that was in front of me. So I was just sitting there at the kitchen table and I put on music and I don't usually put on music, but I did. And I put on some music and it's playing in the background and I was just sitting there just praying and I was just kind of really trying to push through just some discouragement, you know. And I literally just said as I was just sitting there, God, what do you want me to do with the time that I have left? Whatever that is, what do you want me to do with it? And so I just kind of sat there and pondered that. And finally, I was like, okay, I'm going to read. And I look up and I start reading in Psalm 92. It says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. I'm the worship leader. And God's saying, you ought to give thanks and sing praises. Well, that's a good place to start. Maybe I'll do that. It says, to declare forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness in the night, on a 10-stringed lute and on the harp and on the lyre with a solemn sound. For you, O Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will sing joyfully at the works of your hands. Okay. I hear that, Lord. I receive that. And then I look right over, and in my Bible, I'm not very neat about it, but I this was already had a big square around it and was already highlighted. But I just looked over and saw it, and it says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. And there's a lot of people in this room that would consider me to be old. I don't, by the way. So thank you. But they shall be filled with vitality and foliage to show that the Lord is upright. Okay, God, I receive that. I receive that. And then keep in mind when Adam was talking, he never used a scripture verse that in the part that I heard so loud and clear. But then I look over at Psalm 90. I'm sorry, I was in Psalm 92. And in Psalm 90, on the same page, it says, the years of our life are 70, and if by reason of strength, 80. Yet their length is toil and sorrow, for they soon end and we fly away. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply wisdom. And I was just sitting there and I was just like, okay, God, this is just kind of a reset. That's just all this is. You're just reminding me. Shelby, go ahead and come on up for a minute. I'm going to have Shelby. She's going to help me out just a little bit. But, you know, some of the versions say, teach us to realize the brevity of life, which is basically the shortness of time. And I just heard God saying, that's all this is. It's just a reset. Just realize where you are and stay focused. He didn't tell me to change my course. He didn't tell me to do something new that I'd never heard of that was just some brand new thing. No, he gifted me and called me to worship him. And that's what he told me to keep on doing. And so I was sitting there and I just started to cry. And I was just thanking him for just meeting me where I was and teaching me still. And I've got a song in one of my playlists that I've heard before, but it's one of those songs you've heard but you've never listened to, really. And as I was just sitting there and I was just thanking him, I started to hear this song, and I want to sing it for you. If my heart could tell a story, if my life would sing a song, if I have a testimony, if I have anything at all, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. My children tell their children. Let this be their memory. That all my treasure was in heaven. And you were everything to me. Never cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy. Like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. That's how good God is. In a moment that I found to be so discouraging and so, I just didn't know, God met me where I was, and he reminded me that he is the author of this story. And that if I will just take those moments of reset and hear and receive that, it's going to be okay. I want that to be my legacy for my children, that their mama loved God. And I'm just going to spend my days and my life doing it. And it's not about what's used up. It's about what's left. And there's still time left. Now, I don't know if it's a day or if it's 40 or 50 more years. But here's what I know. I'm going to use the time. I'm going to make the most of that time. I want y'all to stand with me. I've asked Shelby if she would just sing just one more time that blessing, because you know that song just goes along with everything. See, the legacy that I want to leave, I don't just want to leave to Shelby and Ben and Drew. I want to leave that to their children and their children's children. But I want to receive that blessing. You know why? Because somebody, I had a grandma, and I think she's the reason I live in the blessing that I live in. And somebody did it for her. So I don't just want that to be the blessing that I wish for you, but I want to receive that blessing. So we're going to sing that this morning, just one more time.
Let's favor be a pioneer in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. Let's favor be a pioneer in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. Presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He's with you, he's with you in the morning, in the evening, when you're coming and you're going and you're weeping and rejoicing. He's for you, he's for you.
That you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.